Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, Dawn and I were doing two 10-hour car trips with our 4-year-old nephew. And as you do that, you try to do everything that you can to keep him entertained. Otherwise, that car trip becomes that much longer. And as you try to find ways to entertain him, you really begin to scrape the bottom of the barrel in trying to find ways to do so. At one point, we were desperate, and so we decided to play I Spy, even though there were just trees around us. We would say, "I spy with my little eye something green. Where is it?" And he would look around and point at a random tree or bush and say, "That one." And we would say, "Yes, that's it." After a few minutes, you can imagine the novelty of something like this quickly wears off. But the concept in my mind didn't. As I was driving, I wondered, what would this look like with spiritual things? How would this look like with things of our faith? For example, if I were to say, "Where is God?" how would you answer that? A child might say something like, "At church, in heaven, or maybe on the cross." An adult might answer similar things, or maybe say something like, "In God's word, or in his sacraments." How would you answer that question? In Romans 10 today, Paul helps us with this question of where is God, and he gives us details with all that the answer entails. To help us with this question, though, Paul takes us back to a pivotal point in the history of Israel. When you have a significant moment in your life, you often can remember the words that are spoken to you. For example, maybe you can remember what your spouse told you when your first child was born or when you first adopted your kid. Maybe you can remember what your dad told you after a big accomplishment like graduating or being certified. Maybe you can remember what a friend told you as you made your first big purchase of maybe a home or a car or maybe just even moving. Whatever the event may be, we often are able to remember those words that are spoken to us. They really stick with us. As the people are about to enter the promised land, a high point in their lives, they are hearing the words of Moses, and these words stick with them. In Romans 10, Paul brings us back to this event. The people of Israel had been saved and led out of Egypt. God had provided for them over the 40 years that they wandered in the desert. And before they enter the land, they hear how they are to respond and what God has done for them. They were not told these things so that they could earn salvation by them, but rather they were told these things so that they knew how to live in response to what God had done. Moses tells them, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it too far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it down to us, that we may hear and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it?' But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." Moses tells them that this word, that these things are not far from them. They know what it says and how they are to live. They know the story. They know the history. They don't need to go all over the world searching for it. In fact, Moses tells them that this word is in their midst. It's accessible to them. And Paul sees this text here from Deuteronomy as having a fuller and deeper meaning in Jesus and in his righteousness. He says that we don't need to go up to the highest heights, heaven, to bring Jesus down, and we don't need to go to the deepest depths down below to bring Christ up from the dead. We don't need to search all over for him or do impossible things. With the people of Israel, we hear these words, "The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart." Our God and the message of salvation is found in his word. It's where our God chooses to be revealed. We don't know him apart from his word, nor could we find him without it. Lutheran father Philip Melanchthon writes this when commenting on this verse. He says, God is found nowhere outside of his word or without his word. He wants to be known through it. By means of this instrument, he wants to work. Where is God in his righteousness? It's found in his word, and this word is in our midst. But what is this word, and what does it do for us? Paul tells us in the following verses. He says that it's the message that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. The word that Paul uses for Lord here is kurios, which is the one that's used over 6,000 times in the Greek Old Testament for God's name Yahweh, or Lord in all capital letters in our English Bibles. The word kurios shows us that Jesus is true God and fully God. He's not a half one or a substitute. And the other part of the message, that God raised him from the dead, includes his death for our sin. Jesus is the source of righteousness and salvation. And he's the source of righteousness and salvation for any and everyone that believes. To believe this word is to receive righteousness and salvation. It's through this word that this is given. And everyone who believes this word will not be put to shame. For we have a loving and forgiving God, not a strict or cruel one. For his riches of grace are given to all who believe. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. 2 summers ago, I had a chance to go to a Chicago Fire soccer game with my uncle and his family. And he had probably the best seats in the whole house, second row behind the visitor's bench. And as we were watching that game, a very famous player was sitting on the bench. It was Jermaine Jones, who was one of the best soccer players of his generation. And between halves, as nothing was going on as he was sitting there, I thought I would try to call out his name so I could try to get his autograph. And so I did. So I yelled out, Jermaine. He did nothing, didn't turn his head. I called out a second time, Jermaine. And he slightly turned his head and went like this. And as I had his eyesight, I went like this to try to signal if he could do an autograph. And he turned his head away. My wife did the exact same thing, and she calls out his name, and he gives a full head twist with a smile and wave. And she goes like that for the same sign, and he welcomes her on down. I was excited. We got the autograph, but I was bummed that he completely ignored me and my call. He could care less. He chose not to answer. Paul tells us with this word of salvation that God does not do that. All who call on his name in faith will be saved. All who call on his name in faith will be heard. He'll never turn a deaf ear to us when we call to him in Jesus. He will always give us his grace and mercy when we call to him in faith. And this promise and message is for all people that call on him in faith. And it's because of this promise that God wants this word to be proclaimed. And it's through this very word that he works. Paul says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. God's word is what the Holy Spirit works through in creating and sustaining faith in people. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts of God through this word as well. It's his chosen instrument, whether it's through baptism, which is water in the word, or through the written word. This is how God works to bring people to faith. He also works through the spoken word as well, which is what he focuses on extensively in our text. The apostle pens, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach without being sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Our God works through the words that we proclaim about Jesus. Who have you been sent to proclaim this word in your life? We all have people that we come in contact with through our various stations and vocations that we can spread this word to. We can say it to the stressed coworker. We can spread it to a sibling or supervisor. We can proclaim it to a parent. There are people in our lives that can hear this word of salvation from us. We never know the impact that this word will have on someone or when it will fully take root and grow. But God works through these opportunities, whether we see them or not. That's why we support mission. It's why we did Vacation Bible School this week, so that parents and kids could have an opportunity to hear this word and for God to work on them through this word in their lives. We believe that God works through this word. And this is something that Martin Luther understood quite well. He gives this helpful thought from his second Invocati sermon with these words. He says, "I opposed indulgences in all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." And he's right. It was not Luther's rhetoric, his eloquence, or his knowledge that made the Reformation successful, but it was God's word. And it's the same today. It's not our power or cleverness or intelligence that does anything, but God's word, that word in which he's found and works through. We just speak and proclaim, and God takes care of the rest. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who is found in his word. Amen.